Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Roberts & Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, you guys, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. On the line, I got Stephen Zunis, Dr. Stephen Zunis, professor of politics and international studies at the University of San Francisco. And he's got this very important article here, The U.S. Role in the Honduras Coup and Subsequent Violence. It's in the National Catholic Reporter at ncronline.org. Welcome back to the show, Stephen. How are you?
Good to be with you again. Greetings from New Zealand.
Oh, wow. New Zealand, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good times. You do get around, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a visiting professor this year at the National Center for Peace and Conflict Studies at the University of Otago.
Wow.
So I'm down in the city of Dunedin on the South Island. And it's just before dawn here tomorrow, your time.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this. I appreciate that, especially at a off time like that, so early in the morning. But, all right. So, yeah, really appreciate that. Now, so I know you have limited time, busy morning over there, so tomorrow. So tell us quickly. You got 10 minutes. What exactly was, as best you could tell, was America, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's role in the coup d'etat before, after the fact, accessory, however you want to describe it,
sure,
or whatever you
yep.
want. Manuel yep. Zelaya, the coup of Manuel Zelaya in 2009 in Honduras.
Yeah, Manuel Zelaya was a democratically elected president who came from a kind of establishment mainstream party. He was from a wealthy landowning family, but he recognized how desperately the country was needed of in reforms, and he built new schools, helped public transportation, got free and discounted school lunches and milk for young children, pensions for the elderly, scholarship for students, raised the minimum wage, things like that that make Washington kind of nervous. Where a place we had a lot of foreign investment and the like. There was a coup. By these military officers.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you say nervous, I mean, I think you mean not just that they want that money, but that they're afraid he's going to start nationalizing foreign-owned property, right? But did they have any reason to fear that, really?
No, not really.
Just because he's buying school lunches and stuff?
Yeah, the guy was a capitalist, but, he believed that, when you had gross inequality, the government should play at least some role in helping out the inequities and making the market work a little better if you don't have a bunch of foreign companies running everything, hurting small business people and the like. But the person who led the coup was a graduate of the School of the Americas. The notorious training center at Fort Benning, Georgia, where we, brought in a whole bunch of officers who later ended up staging military coups. Now, I found no evidence that the United States itself was responsible for the coup itself. But what was really important was what happened immediately afterwards. The Organization of American States, all these Latin American countries, said, hey, this is illegitimate. Let's not go back to the bad old days of military coups. We don't recognize this new government. Zelaya needs to come back and complete his term. If you don't like him, the people can vote him out, but don't force him out, through force. And that's when Hillary Clinton came in and said, "Oh, not so fast. Let's just negotiate some kind of compromise here. Let's not have Zelaya come back. Let's let these guys rule for a while. Let's have some elections under their military rule. Let's put this stuff let's keep Zelaya out of power, and let's let the new guys kind of set the direction for Honduras." And that's what has happened. And there have been thousands and thousands of people killed: trade unionists, indigenous rights activists, environmentalists, human rights lawyers. I mean, you name it. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, this brave and outspoken indigenous Honduran environmental activist who named Caceres, who'd won the Golden Environmental Prize, she was really an amazing woman. She was gunned down in her hometown. Again, she's just one of thousands of people, including opposition political candidates, have been murdered since this coup. And in Hillary Clinton's autobiography, she bragged about her role in stopping Zelaya's return and restoring stability to the country. Interestingly enough, she dropped it from the paperback edition.
Really?
Yes. When some of her critics started, using this against her, but it's in the original hardback, Hard Choices, and some of these emails that have recently come out, they have her working with this. This guy who, what's his name?
Lanny Davis. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, Lanny Davis.
Because at the time, I remember Obama had said, we don't really like coup d'etats or something. And then Hillary came out and said, yeah, we do. Coup d'etats are wonderful. I'm paraphrasing. And then it came right out immediately that her buddy Lanny Davis, who was one of her flacks going back to the 90s, was, I guess own the PR firm or something like that, was very close to the guys who had done the coup in a financial connection.
He was working for the Honduran chapter of the Business Council of Latin America, which supported the coup. And it was through him she opened communication with Micheletti, who was the interim ruler installed by the military that everybody else was refusing to talk to directly because he was he'd seized power illegally. And, they strategized a way to restore order and would, and in her words, render the question of Zelaya moot. As in, let's make sure this democratically elected president, not get back into power. And this was when you had tens of thousands of Hondurans on the streets peacefully protesting for his return, who were being gunned down and beaten and suppressed, by this junta. And it's really revealing because, you and I have talked a lot about her role in the Middle East and supporting various tyrants and occupying armies and things like that. But it's not just the Middle East. We're seeing how she's doing it in Latin America as well.
Hmm. Well, I actually don't remember specifically, Stephen, but I'd be willing to bet that you and I talked about this at the time. I've certainly interviewed people ever since then about it from time to time.
Yeah, we didn't quite know as full. I mean, I think both of us suspected, that Hillary was doing something because it was interesting. The White House statements were far more equivocal in their condemnation of the coup, but the State Department, which was really doing the stuff behind the scenes under Clinton, they were Obama's one to call it a coup. The State Department refused to do so, and we're getting a lot more mixed signals from the State Department. But, since that time, again, the emails, her autobiography, at least the first edition, and other things, have made it very clear she played a major role in preventing the return of democratic governance. And we've seen the horrible things that have happened. It has become literally the murder capital of the world. More people killed per capita. The targets are like the cream of the crop, the very people, the civil society leaders, the folks who are really working to support the poor, support the environment, support indigenous rights, support human rights, to support, the opposition parties. These are the people who are being killed at record numbers. I mean, this kind of reminds us of the battle days in the 1980s in places like El Salvador and Guatemala.
We only got 1 minute, but back to the refugees where we had all the child refugees. Imagine what it would take for you to send your minor child, not just like a teenager, but a child alone across Mexico to try to get to America. How desperate you would have to be to be in that situation that you would do that. And then, as you say, Hillary supported, is on the record, and you have the link in your article here to the proof of her supporting sending those kids back to the murder state that she had helped to create there. It's
really, it's
such a scandal. And Sanders' refusal to hit her on this, especially in the debate the other night when they were talking about Latin American coups, is unforgivable, by the way. But anyway, we're out of time.
A lot of points.
Thank you so much for coming back on the show, Steve. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism Versus Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism Versus Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.